Rodney said amen to that, but he really has no idea what he just prayed. You trust him, okay. So, Gareth is actually an example of what we're going to be talking about this morning. You just heard a tongue. And did you know the tongue? Did you know what he just said and prayed for? Well, so we're going to talk about this morning. If you would, grab your Bibles, open up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14. Today, what we are going to do is Paul is going to instruct the church. This whole letter is to the church at Corinth. He has been unpacking several things and struggles that he has heard about the church has been going through. Many of these have been things that have greatly impacted the church. Division has come. They have allowed sexual immorality to infiltrate the church. Several things, whether it be from philosophies and teachings that were going on in their culture, they've even started lifting up men from amongst them and worshiping them as heroes. There's been lawsuits. There's been marriage issues, idolatry, women's roles, gift misuse, spiritual gifts that they were lifting up some over others. Last week, we looked at the lack of love that was happening from within the church. And so we can see that there are many issues that Paul has been addressing. And today, what we will do is we'll address another issue. We'll address an issue that was happening as they were allowing the gift of tongues to be overused or sometimes even elevated. And so what he is ultimately going to challenge us to do is he's going to challenge us the church at Corinth to focus in or to seek the gifts, but to do so out of love, meaning to put others ahead of themselves and to pursue them in such a way that they would even elevate the gifts that build up, the gifts that would impact and edify the church. I think it's important that we realize that in the culture, the Greco-Roman culture at Corinth was one that there was all sorts and had pagan roots that taught that you could commune with the gods, and that ways that you would do this, sometimes through drunkenness, other times through going in and elevating words, that sometimes there was even some babble that began to happen. And so with that, I think that it's just important as we dive in to understand that we do have an enemy, and that the enemy does masquerade as an angel of light, and sometimes he begins to do things that would manipulate. And with that caution and with that knowledge, I think then we can dive in to try to understand and to seek the truth. This is why that one of the gifts is even a gift of discerning the spirits. And it is because that sometimes there are going to be evil spirits that would masquerade or at least portray themselves as being the Holy Spirit. And so this could bring, and I think did bring, some chaos. There was, in chapter 12, we looked at that when this true Spirit of God is the one speaking, he would never and could never curse Jesus. Amen? And that was happening. And so this is why he said that the Spirit of God, or even if there is a false spirit, that false spirit could never say that Jesus is Lord. And so it's important. To understand then what we're going to be looking at, specifically in the way of tongues, it would be important that we define the word that is used throughout this as Paul looks at it. So if you were to turn or remember with me in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the word tongues was used to describe what fell upon the apostles, that there was a tongue of fire or tongues like fire. And so with that, it is the word, the very word used as tongues. In that same passage, he also said that the apostles, the disciples, stood and spoke in tongues, and these tongues were known languages. We know that because those who were there heard it in their heart tongue, their heart language. And so with that, It is the same words that are used throughout this as we talk about tongues. Now, I do think that it's interesting that we see that the King James translators inserted a word also. And they inserted a word unknown to some of the times when they talk about tongues here in the translation. Now, I think that they were trying to, there are a couple of different teachings or thoughts on why they entered the word unknown here. Some suggest that it is because it is a false or a counterfeit tongue that they are trying to describe, that some would stand and it was a counterfeit. And then other times, even in the same passage, we're going to see when it's plural that it doesn't say unknown. And so some would say that those are true gift of the Spirit where people would stand as Paul is talking here. So I'm giving you some information that as we read, you'll at least be able to understand some of the context of what's going on. So with that in mind, knowing that there are several things within the Roman, the Greco-Roman culture of there being false gods that they would speak to, and then also knowing that contextually he's dealing with the gathering or when the church comes to gather, we must understand it as that. What you do in private, what God does in the private, this is not what he's dealing with. Specifically here, he is dealing with when the body, the church, comes together. Okay? Everyone understand? So, if you don't mind, if you would stand with me, if you're able to, just in honor of God's word, we'll begin in Acts chapter 14. We'll start in verse 1. Pursue love. Now remember, all of chapter 13 was all about love. 1 Corinthians. And so, in understanding that in chapter 13, he's saying pursue that. Don't be selfish. Know that your love is always going to be others focused. And so, within that same context, this is what he says. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you? Unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. If even lifeless instruments such as a flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Father, we bow before you. We are thankful for your word. And Lord, we desire that you speak to us in whatever way you so please. God, we just want you. We want your word. We are so thankful for the word of God. And we ask that you would move in power. Help us to be obedient. Lord, as you have gifted us differently, I pray that we realize that each one of us have been gifted as a part of the body and are needed. And so, God, I pray that you would move in power. Help us to leave here with a desire to know you, to be filled with your Spirit, to walk obediently, empowered by your Spirit. Lead us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here, verse 1, we are called to pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, we know that the gifts are given to edify and to build up the church. It is said multiple times just in chapter 14 here alone. We see in verse 3, he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding. He builds up. We see in verse number 5, so that the church may be built up, the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets. So the interpreter, the one who interprets, it actually builds up the church. We see in verse number 12, strive to excel in building up the church as you're looking for pursuing manifestations of the Spirit. He says that I speak in tongues more than anyone, but verse 17, it says, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. In other words, make sure that when you speak, you're building up. Verse 27, we see it again, let all things be done for building up. Verse 31 talks about that we may be encouraged. My point is that we know as we come together as a part of the gathering here on this Lord's Day, it is so you and I would be built up. And to do that, we need God to speak to us. And sometimes God will use you through your giftedness to be able to encourage one another. And so it is my prayer as your pastor that when you come on Sunday mornings, that you would not just sit and say, Chad, feed me, but instead your posture would be one that would say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me. How can I be used by you today? And in that posture or in that response to the Lord, he may lead you to encourage the person next to you or on the other side of the room, but it is my prayer that you'll be obedient to that and that you'll go to them and you'll encourage them. Maybe you'll grab them and say, would you join me? And you would come to the altar maybe and you would pray with them, or maybe even just right there in that moment, you would encourage them or comfort them, whatever the case may be. But the thing is, you see, we're to do this together. We're to stand shoulder to shoulder for the sake of the gospel. And being gifted differently, we learn from one another, and the Lord will use you to impact others. I can tell you that the Lord has used several of you, and you not even know it, but at different points to give me encouragement at the time in which I needed it. And so I praise the Lord for that, that you were obedient. And my prayer is, and my hope is that you would encourage others as the Lord would lead you in the same way. And so he says to seek, if we're going to do this, to seek prophecy over tongues. And so I just think that it's important then that we understand what he's asking us to seek. So in the New Testament, we see that prophecy is the Spirit-enabled speaking forth of God's truth for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of the church. We see it in verse 3. He says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. You see that the Lord will use you and those who are prophesying. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand in front of everyone. It could mean you go to them one-on-one and you encourage them. You strengthen them. You comfort them. You point them to a truth of God's word. You help them to know that they're not alone, or that he has promises that will lead them to endure in whatever storm or struggle they're going through. But allow him to use you. Be obedient to that. Trust him. So today, why pursue prophecy over tongues? Ultimately, as we read, you hear that over and over as Paul saying that, pursue to prophesy for the building up. And so why pursue prophecy over tongues? If you are taking notes, just a couple things you want to look at. The first one is prophecy speaks to one another where tongues would speak to God. If your spirit is speaking things that you don't know what it's saying, then the idea is that you're speaking to something else. And so if that's the case, then it can't upbuild anyone else. Does that make sense? Unless, as he said, there is an interpreter. Later on in chapter 14, next week probably, we will tackle where he gives us, if someone were to stand and speak in a tongue, what we are to do. And he gives us clear order in how to do that. And we may even tackle some of that today, but we specifically will next week. But what I'm saying is that here, as he's talking about, as we gather together, he's saying, seek, if you're going to seek the gifts, and we should seek all of them. I told you the last couple of weeks that I have come before the Lord, like, I want all of them. Like, Lord, if there's a way that I can experience you, Lord, give it to me. I want to experience the Lord in whatever way he wants for me. But knowing that not all of us will have the gifts of tongues. He tells us that. We've already looked at it, but if you wanted to turn there, you could. We're not all going to have the gift of tongues. Let me find it here in my notes. Look at it in chapter 12, verse 30. He asks these questions. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? Almost saying, no, not everybody has the gifts of healing. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Now, there are some faiths who would say that you must speak in tongues, otherwise you don't have the Holy Spirit. I disagree with that. It might be because I don't have that gift, but I would just say that I don't agree with that. God has not given that to me. And so I would just say that here, Paul would even agree that not everyone has that. Now, he says, I would hope that everyone would, but he still knows that not everyone's going to. And so, prophecy was best, or is best, at least as Paul points out here, because it builds up, it instructs, it comforts, it encourages. Now, I know the next question would be, well, what about private prayer? Paul speaks a little bit in praying, but I still believe that the context is in the gathering because he talks about the hearer even of the prayer. But between you and God, I would never tell you how your time with the Lord should work, nor do I. I will caution, though, I think that when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray, his response in Matthew 6 was, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I'm not saying don't, if you have a prayer, I'm not saying don't speak in your prayer. I'm not instructing you in what to do. I'm just going to say, be cautious, right? Make sure that it is led by, empowered by the Spirit. I don't have that. I've not experienced that, but I'm just saying that would just be my caution. Verse 3, prophecy speaks to men. It edifies. It builds up. There's exhortation. It comforts the heart. Tongues edifies self is what he says in verse number 4. He says, the one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. The one who builds up self is self-centered. I think maybe he might be speaking of a motive here. Maybe this person is trying to get attention or trying to say, look at me, look what I can do. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that we know that prophecy specifically is for the hearers. Verse number 5, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more, to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets. Now, if someone interprets, the one who interprets is actually being the one who is being used to build up, right? Because he's actually the one who is speaking what has been spoken. And so, let's just say, even while I'm speaking, one of you stood and began to speak in tongues. I want you to know that immediately I would stop everything and I would ask. There should be, if this is from God, someone here who can be able to interpret. So, a while ago when Gareth stood here and he began to speak in a tongue, no one interpreted. So, were we out of order? Nah, we know Gareth's heart, right? We know he was speaking in Welsh. But what I'm saying is if someone is standing to say, I am speaking on behalf of God in a tongue, then that person is saying, God is speaking through me and doing the work through me. Then God is also faithful. He's not a God of confusion. He will give us the interpretation. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with? And I would ask for that. And if there was, then that person would give us the interpretation. But if there wasn't, then we would so assume that this person might be speaking out of order or speaking maybe selfishly. We don't know. We would just ask them politely to sit down. We'd go back into our teaching. Number two, prophecy edifies the church, tongues the speaker. We see this in verses 4 and 5. He asks the question, how will I benefit you? If I come speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or teaching? And then he gives us some illustrations of some lifeless instruments. He speaks of the flute and the harp in verse 7. Do not, if they don't give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? Verse 8, he talks of the bugle. You see, the bugle would have been blown when there was when an enemy was coming. It was so that the people would rise. They would grab their weapons and ready themselves for battle. But if a kid picked up the bugle and just blew some sort of off note, right, they wouldn't have readied for battle because it wasn't the one that readies for battle. Does that make sense? And so this is what he's saying. He says, even these instruments, we know that they must be used and speak something. They must be used to give notes so that they know what is meant by what is being played. So with yourselves, verse 9, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So, with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Now, I've encountered many people in church life, and we, as followers of Christ, we want to experience the power of the Spirit. Amen? Don't we want that? Like, we want. And I think that sometimes this can go to an unhealthy level to where we are experiencing and want to experience, sometimes emotionally, sometimes even just experientially. Like, we want to experience the Lord. And so if that's the case, sometimes our whole Christian life can just go from one experience to the next, instead of the personal, daily relationship with the Lord, walking in the Word and the promises of God. Now, does that discount the experiences that we experience along the way? No. But what I'm saying is if we make our Christian walk and all we can point back to is I experienced it then, and then there's this lull in life, maybe even struggle in my walk, and then I experienced it here, and it's like these high moments or mountaintop experiences, then we miss the day in, day out adventure that he's called us to in Christ. Are you tracking? Because, man, this is so important. If it's just from one experience to the next, one high moment to the next high moment, then we miss the obedience of the day in, day out. Listen, there's a mission he's called us to. Yes, we experience him. Yes, we walk with him. But there's a mission. And that mission is constant. That mission is daily. And I just want to tell you, it is a great adventure that we get to go on every single day. Today, there is an adventure. Are you a part of it? Are you asking, Lord, use me, help me to see, open my eyes, lead me to those who are hurting, who need comforted, who need encouragement? Because God is always at work. He's always at work in people's lives. And then when those moments in time come where there's just this moment, you know you're in his very presence, you may point to it as, yes, awesome. But man, my mission continues. My walk with the Holy Spirit continues. And so we must be zealous. We must be zealous for the gifts. but we strive as we gather together to build one another up. There's a mission. Let us move on to maturity. And so the last thing I want you to see is that tongues are mindless. And I don't mean that they're ignorant. Please don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is the person who speaks the tongues, if empowered by the Spirit, then their mind is not engaged in that. And he's not pointing to that being a bad thing. He's saying that if I speak in a tongue, I want to ask for I want to know what I'm saying. And when I know what I'm saying, then my mind is engaged. So he says, so when I pray, yes, I pray in a tongue, but I my mind is also engaged. When I worship or praise, yes, my spirit worships, but my mind is engaged as well. And so what he's saying is make sure that it's not mindless, that you are active, that you are active in what God is leading you to do. And so, verse 13, he says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks, like even in your thankfulness to the Lord when you're praying, if I'm giving thanks, the hearer can't say amen. Some of you come Sunday after Sunday. Listen, there's only a couple of you that like really interact, say amen. Man, he's saying, listen, he's expecting people to amen, right? Let's hear it. Give a good hearty amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, wasn't that, some of that felt good, you see? Do you know what you're saying when you say amen? It's like an agreement, like affirming what's just been said. Yes, let it be so. Amen to that. It is in agreement. Yes, I'm standing on that. And so Paul's expecting that out of people. And so if you're praying in a language that, man, people can't even, that they don't know, they can't amen you. Like they can't even agree in your thankfulness. And so he's just saying, he's just saying, man, don't you want to build up? Don't you want to encourage? Seek those things. Verse 16, otherwise, if I give thanks in my spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? Verse 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. This word translated to 10,000 words in a tongue is actually the largest number imaginable in the original language. Like, in other words, they're just saying, I would rather say 5 words that people can understand than as many words imaginable in some other language. He's saying because these 5 words instruct, they encourage, they give hope. Verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Do not be immature. Don't be selfish. Don't just build up, but be mature. If you're going to be infant in something, make that be in your evil practices, right? Be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Be mature in your thinking. Be mature in having your mind set upon the kingdom. Be mature in impacting your brothers and sisters so that we all will be moved to maturity. That we won't let chaos or disorder in our times together, but instead it be for the upbuilding. And we'll speak on more of that next week as he talks about when someone does and how they do. But I want you to see, the heart is that we come to, not what can I get out of this, what kind of emotion can I feel, but instead we come together, we be built up for maturity, and we move on toward Christ-likeness. And so, in the way of application, just a couple of things. We are to prioritize the encouragement, the upbuilding of the church. And so, when you come, will you allow God, will you give God the right to speak to you in such a way that you would change your life to the truth of God's word? Like, will you allow him? Have you given him that ability to where, God, here I am. Tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. Man, I pray that be our heart. that we come and we just say, Lord, whatever you tell me through the word of your truth, I will do. I will follow. I will change. I will adjust my life to your truth. Will you seek to use the gifts that God has given you to build up his church? We need you. I need you. The people around you, they need you. God has gifted you uniquely. Allow him to use you in that. Will you prioritize faith and obedience to the truth over emotion? Sometimes emotions, you know, they're tough to stand on because they're fleeting. They come and go. But yet, faith and obedience, we can trust it because the truth is foundational. It's unchanging. Will you guard against counterfeits? Will you guard against how things can be flipped or used inappropriate? And so trust the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, abide in the Spirit, allow him to use you, trust him. And when he does, there's that closeness that you walk with and you step back and you just say, why me? Why would you ever, even by your grace, choose to use someone like me? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We ask, Lord, that we would leave here with a renewed passion to seek to encourage one another. That as the body, we would function as the body and that we would love one another, we'd encourage one another. I pray that as we stood and heard from Kristen, her testimony of how you take us right where we are and you transform us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize the love that you have shown to us in sending Jesus to die on the cross. And so, God, use this time as a time of worship as we come before you. Help us remember the price that has been paid. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.